This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Hey, isn't that Jess Falstick?
Nah, that's Sailor Moon. That's Jess Falstick.
Nah, that's just a couch covered in cats.
Oh, well, where's Jess Falstick?
Guys, I'm literally right here.
No, Jess Falstick has blue hair.
No, Jess Falstick's hair looked like she'd be part of the alt-left, if that were a thing.
Didn't she shave her head?
Just come see me every Sunday night at Avenue Tap House at 7 p.m. for the Red Light Comedy Showcase. The first Sunday of the month is open mic, and the last three Sundays showcase Cleveland's best and brightest comedic talent.
You know who's the funniest female comic in Cleveland?
Who's that?
Mary Santora.
God damn it.
That's Jess Falstick.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week we're delving back into the world of wrestling, one of our favorite worlds to be in. Joining us is the host of the Wrestling Cheers podcast, available wherever you consume podcasts, Justin Summers.
How's it going, guys?
Welcome, Justin. I believe, like we were just talking about, this is gonna be like a Ring of Honor New Japan thing going on. We're gonna kind of cross over streams.
Well, I don't like crossing the streams all the time as a Ghostbusters fan, but in this case, we're gonna bookend a weekend on this past Thursday.
Okay,
your interview with on the Wrestling Cheers podcast came out, and now we have this episode coming out now.
Fuck yeah, I'm excited. I was on my Akron podcast tour that I did. I did three shows one night. Yours was the last of the night. I was a little buzzed up. I remember having a lot of fun talking about wrestling and yelling about wrestling, and it was fun. It was a good time.
Jordan, you yelled.
It's more or less, Jordan, you got drunk.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. So, Justin, why do you hate smarks?
Well, we should tell people.
Yeah.
Well, smarks is a term coined by net cop Scott Keith back in the 90s to put the term smart as in someone that knows that the wrestling business is fake and that storylines are pre-planned. And mark, someone that has no idea that the wrestling business is all about money. Put those two together, you get smark, trademark Scott Keith. So why do you hate smarks?
I hate smarks because, as a whole, I love professional wrestling. There's very little you're going to hear me bitch about, but it's these smark wrestling fans that just annoy the piss out of me because they think they know better. Granted, we're going to run across these all over the internet, and there's probably some in this room, but that's what makes fun. Everybody probably has that smart personality. And if, for example, if you are a wrestling fan, go on to, or if you're not a wrestling fan, go to Facebook, type in New Japan Pro Wrestling, find their Facebook page, and then just watch the litany of people bitching that WWE is horrible and New Japan is the greatest thing in the world. Now, granted, I love New Japan, too.
Yeah, it's great.
I love WWE.
Yeah.
I love independent wrestling. I love AIW and Ring of Honor. But if, you know, you don't want to like that other type, just shut up. Hey,
This is not Super Nintendo versus Sega Genesis.
No. Like, I like, we all like ice cream. Unless you're lactose intolerant, then that's a different problem. But, you know, chocolate's a good flavor. You might like Rocky Road or mint chocolate chip. You don't want
coffee. That. Coffee ice cream is where it's at.
I don't know if I've had that.
Oh, coffee ice cream's what's up.
That's gonna be on my list.
All right,
but like, I don't like butter pecan.
Fair enough.
I'm just not going to buy butter pecan. I'm not going to tell you why you're wrong for liking butter pecan.
Right.
Hey, if you like it, have fun.
Well, no, I mean, and like the thing is like, first and foremost, like I'm sure certain people, certain listeners of our show are going to check out of this because not everybody is a wrestling fan, and I understand that. There's been proof that people can be converted. My girlfriend, for example, But like I really I think WWE has actually been doing some of their best work in a really long time in the last year. I mean, they're making strides to appease people.
Yeah.
That they want. I mean, with Shinsuke Nakamura winning the Royal Rumble, like, holy fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody saw that coming. Everybody thought it was going to be Roman. And, like, that's what I kind of tried to explain to people ahead of time is, like, Roman Reigns didn't need to win the Royal Rumble to go to WrestleMania. He just has to start a feud with Brock Lesnar. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And Elimination Chamber is going to be the bypass in which he gets that. And I understand that, which is fine with me. But, like, a Japanese wrestler who speaks very little English, winning the Royal Rumble and going to face AJ Styles at WrestleMania in the main event for the title is one of the biggest things that's ever happened. How can you bitch about that? How can anybody be upset about that?
Because they'll always find those little things to bitch about, or maybe it's like, well, that's not the same Nakamura. That's not the same AJ Styles. Ironically, you're wearing a shirt right now, but that's sports entertainment, and that's an argument I hate. And it's like, well, there's wrestling and there's sports entertainment. No.
No.
It's the same word.
No, it's the same thing now.
It's trying to take the whole thing of wrestling, and it got a really bad stigma. They're like, well, we're like sports, but we're like entertainment, so we're sports entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean...
It's just all these people sucking at the teats of Jim Cornette who have decided God. That right. sports entertainment is a dirty word.
Well, and the thing is like, I'm a fan of Cornette. Justin, will you turn on that light for me? Thank you. I'm a fan of Jim Cornette. I always have been and I always will be. Do I think he's an asshole? Yeah. Do I think he's wrong a lot of the time? Yeah. But, I mean, there are certain things I do agree with him. But, like, the days of Vern Gagne and the old WCW, like... It's done. It's over. Yeah. And like the Young Bucks, I don't think they consider themselves. I mean, yes, well, they're all professional wrestlers, but like the business has adapted into quote unquote sports entertainment. It's still professional wrestling to me. You can slap whatever label you want on it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm still gonna watch it. And I'm still gonna enjoy it in any facet, unless it sucks. You know, and. Very rarely do I come across something that I'm just like, oh, this is dog shit. I'm not watching this. But that's like a specific match or something, you know?
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. And people who bitch about it all the time, because it's 90% of what I consume these days is professional wrestling. It's 90% of what, like, I don't really watch shows anymore. Occasionally I will, but like 90% of what I consume is professional wrestling. And I love it all. It's all so much fun.
Yeah. It's having those different varieties. Like, you mentioned the whole Roman Reigns thing. I'm tired of the hate for Roman Reigns. I mean, is he the greatest wrestler in the world? No.
No, neither is John Cena.
But they both have, I don't want to say a personality, but they have a look. People outside looking in go, ooh, what's that?
Yeah.
And there's more to them than just, I mean, hate him. Are they for you? Like, maybe not say you, but, you know, are they for everybody? No.
No.
Like, you might look at a guy, like, I grew up, two of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Those are two are nowhere near.
Polar opposites.
Yeah, of Roman Reigns and
right.
John Cena, but you know what? I still appreciate guys like that.
Yeah, you have to, because, like, I mean, how fun would it be if it was... And don't get me wrong, I love big guys too, like Braun Strowman. Fucking love Braun Strowman. I think he's great right now.
Rusev.
How fun would it be to just watch a bunch of dudes the size of Rusev, John Cena, Braun Strowman, just go at it week after week? And don't get me wrong, the big guys have their place, the medium guys' size have their place, and the little guys have their place. And guess what? They're allowed to cross streams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about independent wrestling is that they allow those streams to cross.
Mm-hmm.
WWE doesn't necessarily do that. New Japan doesn't necessarily do that. That's what I love about indie wrestling is, like, I mean, look at AIW tag team champions right now. Are PB Smooth and fucking Swoggle.
Twins.
Yeah. You know, a 7-foot dude and a fucking little person, a dwarf. Like,
you could say midget. He openly says, I'm a midget.
That's fine. It's whatever. But, like, I mean, that's what I love. You're not going to see that on WWE unless it's, like, circa 2006 when DX got back together.
I mean, your closest thing you have to that right now is the Mix Max Challenge, which I haven't got a chance to watch, but when you have one team, Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman.
Oh, that was so much fun to watch.
Like, I haven't had a chance to watch it, but those two together, I love that pairing.
It's like that was a selling point immediately. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I'll watch because she's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's literally a monster among men. I bought into him after. Like, Roman, I got tired of the hate on him, like, maybe 2 years ago. I was like, you guys need to really give this dude a fucking, like, honest shot because he...
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. No. Because he is a workhorse.
His matches are fine. Do I want to see him in the main event when, you know... Look, if your finisher is a goddamn punch and a spear, you can eat shit. As far as I'm concerned.
I'll give you the punch, if you're not, but the spear.
If you're not Aja Kong, you should be finishing
What about
the
Rhino?
Punch. Rhino has the cradle pile driver, too, but he doesn't do it anymore.
Right.
What if your finisher was a boot and a leg drop?
Oh, I hate Hulk Hogan.
That's because Hulk Hogan probably hates you.
Yeah, well, yes. I'm not white. When I got into wrestling... It was like the Hulkamania era was going strong.
You mean it was running wild?
Well, yes.
it was going strong. It wasn't running wild because it was right around the time Ultimate Warrior won the belt.
And fuck him for the record, but go ahead.
So, but then my dad comes up to me and is like, okay, so you're watching this shit, right? You got to watch Ric Flair. And I'm like, wait a minute. My dad is giving me wrestling advice. What's going on here? And then I started watching WCW, and like that's my shit. Like old WCW,
old Jim Crockett, man.
Watching Ric Flair go like fucking 30 minutes with Scott Steiner, and watching Ric Flair go like 45 minutes with Barry Windham
or Sting.
Or fucking Brian Pillman, like Dusty, that's my Rose. Shit.
Well, Dusty Rhodes was more the 70s and 80s.
Dusty really wasn't my bag, baby.
Are you? How could Dusty not be your bag?
Yeah. Because of the flip flop and fly, baby.
He's so good, dude. I love Dusty.
I love his promos. I haven't watched enough of Dusty's work to be like, yeah, I could see this, but you know, I'm just. You know, I like my fat guys like Vader, that they get dropped on their nugget and they fly all over the place.
Yeah.
And show their dick online.
Yeah.
Did Vader do that?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And then I've been...
That's fantastic.
I've heard sources. I mean, when he was at AIW, I heard he was a dick behind the stage, no pun intended. But then I've actually heard him book other places, and like he's like great.
Well, I mean, so, like I've also, I mean, Jim Cornette says it about Vader, like about how, like multiple people say about Vader about how he's a big baby, like he can dish it, but he can't take it, kind of thing. But on top of it, he's old as fuck now, so he can't really dish on the old guy.
I want to say a couple when he was at AIW, they said that he wanted his money sent in a Maxim magazine, like cash. Like some old school shit. This is probably older episodes of the AIW podcast where I talk about it.
Yeah.
But that's something you think of, like, that's such a old school thing. And he's like, no, I want this. This was a couple years ago.
Yeah. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, dude. Well, that's the thing is, like, as far as, like, the smarts goes, is, like, they believe that they should control the business. And don't get me wrong. Like, dude, like, I have my... Like, when I see something... I've been... Like, first and foremost, I've been watching my entire fucking life. Same. I can sit there at the beginning of a pay-per-view and pick and tell... I could tell you what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Most likely. I mean, every once in a while, there's a swerve. Mm-hmm. But, like, 90% of the time, I can tell you this is how it's going to end. Or within 5 minutes of a match ending, I'd be like, okay, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And I've called it before, sitting there with room full of people, they're like, how the fuck did you know that? I'm like, this shit is in my blood.
Yeah.
And like, so, I mean, could the term smart be applied to me?
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But like, at the same time, like, I don't bitch like a ton of other people do. Like, when I see someone, I'm just like, you fucking idiots, you're missing out on so much money. Whatever, let's move on to the next thing. That's personally just how I feel, because Roman Reigns, at first, like when they first started pushing him, I was like, I don't know, like he's got the look for sure, but his matches are boring as shit.
But the weird thing about that was, is he almost won the Royal Rumble the year prior, and everybody was like, oh my god, you should have won, and then he wins, and it was like, no, we wanted someone else this year.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Because that's always the thing that gets me, too, is the hypocrisy of it. We want someone new. We're getting tired of John Cena. We're getting tired of Randy Orton. Here's Roman Reigns.
We don't want him.
We want someone else. He's somebody
which
new.
Which was
correct?
Cool because, I mean, like, you remember when they, I mean, like, when he was supposed to beat Brock Lesnar and everybody thought he was going to beat Brock Lesnar and Seth cashed in after taking the best RKO of all time.
Oh, yeah.
The curb stomp RKO. And, like, that was such, like, that was when WWE started going in a better direction. It's like, okay, they're going to keep pushing Roman Reigns, but they're gonna dangle it in front of him like, you know, like a carrot and a horse, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was fucking brilliant.
I felt like it's been a slow progression since Punk was around over the whole pipe bomb. Because it was like, okay, we're going to give you moments like this. Yeah, we're still going to have all these other moments. Then it was, I think it was maybe right before that or right after that, was like, oh, by the way, here's the old Intercontinental Championship back.
Yeah.
Like, there's something for you.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. There's so many different fan groups out there that people are like, well, I want what I want now. I think this person should main event all the time. Oh, okay, that's great and all, but there's still a fan base for Roman Reigns. There's
right.
still a fan base for John Cena.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have to lose every time just because you think they right. deserve it. Okay, sometimes, yeah, definitely. Give them those moments because that's what it's like to be a fan. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, that's two of my favorite wrestlers of all time, and seeing them at WrestleMania, great. Shawn Michaels win, great. But, you know, there were those moments as a fan of Shawn Michaels that sucked, because, like, maybe he lost a title, or, you know, he lost a smile. Or anything like that, or the concussion thing. Those are moments you gotta have the highs and lows.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, dude, like, the thing is, like, I've said this about Roman Reigns for a couple years now. He got over on me a couple years ago. I was like, all right, I like this guy. And he's a workhorse, and he's a fucking... He's clearly the leader in the locker room, which I think is great. I think he's the guy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He put Enzo Amore in his place. He's put Sin Cara in his place. Like, I like the guy. But the feud with Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns in 2017 was like, oh, see, this is something you could book for years to come, and I'm going to watch it every single time. Like, Cher, did you catch any of that?
The feud, I liked it.
It was good. It's good shit.
Like, I mean, I'm not dissing his work. I just don't like his finisher, and I don't like his character. The Big Dog! I don't like
it. I think that they should have, like, I think they should have just kept it. Because, I mean, you watched Raw on Monday, this past Monday. So that would have, for listeners, that would have been the 5th or 6th, something like that.
Yeah.
He cut literally the best promo he's ever cut, like, against Bray Wyatt. Like, it was literally the best one he's ever done. And I was like, that's the Roman Reigns they should have been booking for the last 3 years.
Second best promo. His first best promo was his simplest promo.
When he got booed for fucking 10 minutes and said,
this is my yard now, which one of my second favorite moments of this past WrestleMania, because I was there, was when Undertaker lost. Not a huge fan. Like, I don't hate The Undertaker. I've just been... had enough of The Undertaker, let's say.
That's fair.
If he retired 5 years ago, even 10 years ago, I'd have been fine.
Yeah, sure.
Now I'm just kind of like, all right.
He probably should have.
Yeah. So when he lost, there were so many people booing, and literally I got up on my feet clapping and laughing.
Well, I mean, dude, what sold me on that match, because, like, I did not like the idea of Undertaker losing his streak ever. When he did, I thought they did it in an okay way, because literally fucking nobody expected it.
Oh,
and I think that was one of the coolest moves ever. But now he's lost... Is it two or three times at WrestleMania?
Two.
Okay. Rumored. And he's going up against Cena this year, supposedly.
Rumored. I hope not. I mean, that's not anything against that match. I wanted that match last year and years prior to that. I just, more or less, that moment was really good. If they end it there, cool.
Yeah.
But if they're going to find a way to retcon it, make it good.
Oh, I think that they would turn Cena semi-heel to do it. Not heel, because they'll never do that, but I think that's what they would do.
I don't think they necessarily need to turn him heel, because he's going to get booed.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, for sure.
Like, it's built in. He can be his normal self.
What I liked about the Taker and Roman match was the very end of it, like, after he's beating him with the chair and Taker's on his knees, like, grabbing at Roman's, at his tights.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman's just like, stay down. Like, I was like, that, like, that's storytelling right there. Mm-hmm. Like, Roman, like, it was just the whole thing of, like, Roman's character. He's like, I don't want to do this to you, but I'm going to fucking do this to you.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. I thought that was really, really good.
when it comes to Undertaker streak, I always wanted it to be whoever beat him was going to be someone young, and it would help build their career going forward. Yeah. The only problem,
Bray Wyatt. It should have been Bray Wyatt.
I don't know.
They don't know what the fuck to do with Bray Wyatt.
Well, they've had 5 years to figure it out, and they're not going to fucking do anything with him now.
But at the same time, he's in a good place with the company. Win or losses, for the most part, don't matter as much for him.
Yeah.
Because people will always remember Bray Wyatt. He is the Undertaker of this generation.
Yeah, but he needed Taker to put him over to do it.
He did. But the whole thing is, whenever you beat the Undertaker, that's a huge burden. And it was actually made a lot of sense for Brock Lesnar to hold it because...
He don't give a fuck. Well,
it's not that you don't give a fuck. It's not going to weigh him down because they would have that luck of the... I kind of call it the Browns luck. To where, you know, they put that on someone like, all right, you're the guy. And then, you know, they get injured. They're gone. They're done. Like within 2 years, or they get burned out, or they go to TNA or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like you wanted to put on someone who's going to be proven.
Yeah.
I understand why they did Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, no.
That turned into a little streak for him after that because he was untouchable. Then, a couple years later, now we could have had Roman do it. Probably could even have Bray do it. I wish... And that whole week in WrestleMania was kind of ruined just because of the location and being on the West Coast. Yeah. Because imagine that entrance on the East Coast if they were to do an open stadium.
Yeah.
Like, lights out... Fireflies everywhere, Undertaker, then him. Like, that would have been magical. Yeah, but great. No, we have it in the middle of the day. And like,
listen to these smarks. Yeah. Just fucking figuring out the business.
Like, it's like the whole thing about like me hating smarks, it's like I don't hate. All right, I won't say intelligent discussion on it, but just the people that berate it. I've often even coined like a different phrase. I call them snarks.
Yeah.
Snarky smart wrestling fans. Yeah. Because those are the worst.
No, it's the purpose of the conversation isn't necessarily to be constructive. It's to dominate you with their superior knowledge.
Fuck you, I'm right.
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
Well, and, I mean, I call myself the professional wrestling omnibus, so...
I don't know if you are.
It's first and foremost, you didn't come up with it, so suck my dick, and it's a good fucking nickname. I'm not saying I know everything about wrestling.
I just think it's appropriate that you're a bus, but not an omnibus.
Yeah, well, you look like Tugboat, you earthquake bitch.
Choo-choo. Choo-choo. Give me my helmet.
I mean, but like...
Do you know that his fucking kid showed up to wrestle and like couldn't get over because they brought him in as Fred Ottman's son?
Because he looked like Earthquake?
He looked like Typhoon.
Oh, Typhoon. Tugboat. Tugboat was Typhoon. That's right.
Yeah.
It's not like I'd get over. Look at me. Jesus Christ. I look like I could be Earthquake's fucking kid if I grew out my hair.
You look like you could be Vader's dick.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
No,
you're saying I look like Ethan Suplee from fucking Boy Meets World.
This is what you should do. You should grow half your hair back and shave half your face so you can be like crazy John Tenta when he was the shark. And they shaved half his head and he was in a face run.
I don't want to do that. And you're not Kevin Sullivan, so shut the fuck up.
Listen, Daddy.
I mean,
what's your finish?
And like the thing is like Shear did bring up that point is like it's the Jim and I like Jim Cornette. I really legitimately do. I think he's one of the best managers of all time. I think if he would accept the wrestling business for what it is today, I still think he'd have a great mind for it and know where to go with things. And I think he'd know how to book the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. And I think that if he would just adjust his fucking thinking and come into it, he'd be accepted with open arms, and then you could do a fucking great feud with those guys.
Yeah.
But like, it's the disciples of people like that are the fucking problem.
Well, originally, you know, it was the disciples of Meltzer.
I hate saying that because I'm not part of it, but like the wrestling business, like Meltzer, he loves what it is now. Like he's part of the reason the Young Bucks are fucking who they are.
Yeah.
Not even close to the whole reason. They're the reason, but like his push helped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he is like the original, like, fucking Dave Meltzer, whatever. He's okay. I don't buy into all his bullshit, though.
Yeah, I try to stay away from most of those people.
Yeah.
Not a huge Cornette fan, not a Russo fan, not a...
Alvarez?
Not Alvarez either. Yeah. The only person that I like, and it's more or less because I've had somewhat of a personal relationship with him, and he's not even that big scale, but Justin Labar.
From Wrestling With Regret? Is that him?
No, that's Brian Zane.
Brian Zane, yeah, that's right.
Brian Zane's not bad. I don't,
no, I like him. I like him.
I look at him as like a newer wave.
Yeah.
Of, you want to call them.
I'm a big fan of the Cultaholic guys, come like from Wrestle.
I like.
What's it called? What's that website? As soon as they fired, what's his name?
What Culture.
Yeah, What Culture.
That guy I didn't like.
You didn't what? Like Adam Blampy? Nope.
I never liked him.
I did.
There was sometimes he would talk, and I'd just be like, dude, shut up.
Yeah, well, you know what? You were an underage lady from the UK.
She was not underage!
I thought she was.
I don't think she was. I think that he was just a dick and was soliciting pictures.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll straight up say, like, I've followed that dude and that whole
thing. I'm Adam from What Culture? Show me your tits.
I mean, which, dude, yeah, it's a shitty move. I'm not going to deny that. But what he did is not, like, on any kind of level of, like, what any other piece of shit has done.
Hold on. Pause. Yes, it is, and I will tell you why. Because in his statement, he even brought this up, that he abused his position as somebody that is, you know, not only, you know, a YouTube personality, but he's a part of a wrestling company and all these other projects that he had going on in order to see some titties. And these girls weren't like, going in like, I'm just going to send a random guy. It was like, Adam Blampy wants to see my titties. And it ruins
all right, let me ask you a question. Do you think that all of those pictures that he got or whatever were solicited?
I'm sure he asked for them.
Every time?
Not every time. Sometimes, like...
Because guys send unsolicited dick pics.
Oh, girls definitely send unsolicited. I used to have a bunch.
You can't dress yourself up, take a picture in the mirror, and call it unsolicited, Jeremy.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me so hard.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
No, I used to get, my favorite unsolicited nude I got was a lady took a photo shoot of her fucking a beer bottle and then drinking the beer.
Was the cap on top?
Wait, no, the cap was not on the beer.
But sure,
she could have gotten a yeast infection. That's just unsafe. That's an unsafe work environment.
Well, she wasn't a very safe lady since she when we eventually met up, she wanted me to go in dry, and I'm like, yeah, I know. You're looking at me like that's crazy, right? That's what I thought. But
I mean, if she's not ready to go, I mean, there's
she was ready to go. It was just her body. The mind was willing. The body was not. At any rate, I've got other unsolicited pics over the years, like, you know, full body shots, people doing weird shit. It's I've gotten a few dick pics, but you know, it's just I never asked for any of that, and I never will, because it's like. Now, once you enter into that kind of, like, fan mail relationship, it's like, this is what it is.
Okay, but dude, alright, like, for example, like, I've talked about this a million times, I'm very much a monogamous person, like, I it's just who I am, it's built into me, it's my default setting, if you will, you can find that on the Above Below Network, Jess Falstick. Absolutely, that's what I'm all about. So, but, let's, for fuck's sake, let's just say our personalities got out there enough to where it was reaching 100,000 people at a time.
Okay.
Which we're only a couple thousand away from that anyway.
All right.
Let's just theoretically say that that was happening. And I wasn't in a relationship. If a girl's going to send me a picture of her naked, it's not like I'm not going to look at it.
Okay. Are you going to ask for it, though?
Probably not. Not unless it's like one of those things where it's like, I mean, because I'm the kind of guy, I'm a gentleman, I'd be like, hey, let's go out for some drinks. Let's go out for some food. Let's fuck.
No, let's go out for some food is what you always say.
I mean, am I more a food addict or a drug addict or an alcoholic?
Alcoholic.
Thank you. All right, point proven. See, Jeremy's a smart for real life. He knows it all, and he's got it figured out.
Yeah. I actually wrote for NetCop's site once. I reviewed the XPW Tape 1.
Who was on that?
The only, like, the biggest star on that tape was Missy Hyatt, and it was only, like, a clip of her. I think the main event was, like, Supreme versus the Messiah or something.
Oh, so it was literally when they had nobody.
Yeah, I think
before they could get Sabu to work for
them. They had Axel Rotten and they had Kronos.
I mean, I would say those are bigger names than Missy Hyatt in the wrestling world.
Well, I mean, Missy Hyatt was a bigger star than...
Because she had tits.
Let's say bigger at that time.
At that time?
Like her,
then Axel Rotten, XPW, I mean, he was just... I mean, that's like ECW days. When was the first XPW tape?
I got it in 2000.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, he was just coming off of ECW. But, I mean, then again, him and Balls were not the biggest. However, I mean, wait, was Kronos... No, Kronos wasn't in the Eliminators.
Yes.
Okay. Kronos, towards the beginning of ECW, or at least when it became Extreme Championship Wrestling, he was one of the big... I mean, the Eliminators were a big thing in ECW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So... But yeah, I mean, we're arguing semantics like a bunch of smarks. Like, yeah. Oh, who's bigger? Is it Missy Hyatt? Is it Perry Saturn? Is it fucking Kronos?
I don't know. I just know that I didn't like Chris Kloss, the announcer.
I don't even like that name. No. That sounds like a fucking Nazi fucking officer.
He would do bad impressions when they were going over like angles, and it annoyed me. But then, the second tape... They got, like, some random Mexican dude who, like, barely spoke any English to do color commentary, and it was great.
I wish it was just Chavo Guerrero, like, faking it.
I don't even know. I don't even remember the guy's name. I just remember, like, it reminded me of Boss Rutten when he colored the first few Prides. And he just, like, he clearly was like, this is boring.
So, like you were saying, you wrote a smart review for an XPW video.
Yeah, I did, but it took me too much time, so that was the only one I did. Because okay. I was still reviewing stuff by talking into a tape recorder and then, like, typing it out.
Yeah, gotcha.
Took me way too much fucking time.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And I had too many words in it, so
what were the responses to your... Did it get published?
It got published, but it wasn't good.
No, you weren't proud of it.
It was just too many words.
Okay, gotcha.
Too many words and me trying to throw in my cleverness instead of just being clever.
Jeremy's basically yelling at me for what when I write stuff now.
I got better at it. Like, I used to do reviews for APW when I lived out there. I would do, like, a work rate report, like, what worked and what didn't work, like yeah. Death Valley Driver used to do. I don't know if you ever read that site back in the day.
I remember it.
Death Valley Driver was great because they get all the weird Japanese shit before people, like, really got into it.
Yeah.
So, like, the Survival Tobita stuff and, like... DDT before it was big, and like that's where I would go to find out about those guys. And so I basically copied Phil Schneider's format, and I wrote for like their message board basically for, and some of the wrestlers got pissed at me, especially when I said that spitting on people can give you AIDS.
Well, I learned that from Fat Mike from NoFX. Somebody, because that's like the one thing he hates is like as a punk rock dude, he's like, I hate when people spit on me. And I've seen him be like, that's how you get hepatitis, dude. But I like
this guy. It was Moondog Spot, I think. He was like, he responded to me directly. He was like, look, I wrestle in Oregon. This is part of the deal when you wrestle in Oregon is that you have to get an AIDS test every few months to have a license to wrestle in Oregon.
Gotcha.
Which is why the WWF never did shit in Portland or anything, even though, you know, Oregon wrestling has a rich history, is because in order to wrestle there, you had to pass, like, the Oregon State Health Department check And WWF was just like, "Nah, we're not doing that." So
they're like, once we pick Rowdy Piper, we're out of there. Yeah. But no, I mean, just like as far as like the what the fuck was I gonna say?
You were gonna say I like sucking big old Japanese dicks.
No, I'm glad you brought it back.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
You'd be surprised.
Every once in a while, I bet Shinsuke's got a huge dick. But anyway.
Shinsuke, send your dick pics to hateflow@gmail.com.
Asuka, please send your dick pics to... I'm kidding.
All right. Well, actually, please do. Yeah. Exclusively send them, and then we'll work out a deal where if she gets cut, we get a cut. Whatever. But no, like as far as like Smarks go, like how you were saying before, like, oh, New Japan is the best, fuck WWE sucks, or WWE is great. I don't like New Japan for this reason, which I've not heard that many people say, but...
No, no.
Not as many.
It's... Even, I technically even get it in within WWE, well, NXT is so much better. Okay, I get that.
I mean, it is.
I really get
it. But is.
Understand why. They also cycle through a roster probably every 2 years...
Yeah. 2 to 3.
So yeah. It's fresh faces, fresh matchups, and then...
They do so many other things right, though. That fading to black with all the light on the ring at the beginning of the matches, I don't know why they don't do that for everything.
They tried that with ECW. Well, WWE ECW. Mm. And for some reason, what it probably comes down to, it's probably Vince.
Oh, yeah. Without 100%.
Not to be overly smarky, but I know, like... Vince, you know, has the creative control and all that, but...
Yeah, he has final say.
Yeah, and I think he tried it, and I'm willing to bet he didn't like it.
So well, I think with ECW, it was the wrong place to do it because you got all this out-of-the-ring shit. So you've got the lighting in the ring, but then you're going out of the ring, and then you have to change the fucking lighting for TV for that particular part of it. I don't know. Just a theory.
Yeah. At the same time... I kind of don't like American crowds. Like, not like, oh, I hate them, but...
I can tell you right now, fuck Philly, fuck Boston, fuck Chicago, fuck Cleveland for the most part.
Fuck Green Bay.
Fuck... I don't know if I really paid attention, but...
They're like this. I'm sitting on my hands.
Okay. Fuck that. And, did I say fuck Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay, fuck Chicago and fuck, New York, duh. Fuck New York. They're literally, the Northeast crowds and Midwest crowds are the smarkiest fucking pieces of shit on the planet.
My only problem with that is sometimes, like, for example, the shows after SummerSlam the past couple of years. How many of them are actual New Yorkers and, like, from that area? How many came in for SummerSlam? That's the only thing that sucks, because I think certain areas you have a mixed venue.
I don't know, because like, I know every time people, anytime, they don't just go to Brooklyn once a year. I mean, they go to the Barclays more than once a year.
True.
Or, I mean, or at least New York. I mean, they'll do, when was the last time they fucking did Madison Square Garden?
There's a reason. I forget why, but I know there's a reason, and it has...
They only do house shows there.
They only
now,
do
right?
house shows there now.
Yeah. Which I think it has to do with like how the entrance at like where it's set up. And
yeah, there's some reason why they don't, and I think it might be a money thing too with Madison Square Garden.
Right on. I mean, but it's just like I get what you're saying about American crowds. Like it's annoying. Like I hate when crowds hijack shows. Unless it's ECW circa 1995 to 2000, you can go fuck yourself. The show wasn't about them, mm-hmm. but they helped make the show. Any other crowd has never
She's
mattered
got
before.
Herpes. It's still the best wrestling chant of all time.
But it's actually American crowds in general.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's because they always want to get themselves over. Compare that to a New Japan crowd. I'm Grant, being overly smarky here, but... You really watch the crowd. If they get a camera in their face, they're watching the action. They're not going, oh, look at me, look at me, look
yeah,
at me.
Yeah.
Unless there's American citizens there, because we've seen that at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
So camera guy was towards the back of the crowd, and they turn around like, oh, yeah, look at me, look at me. I'm like, stop.
Yeah, just stop being a dick.
I think it's all American sports crowds in general, because once they started putting people's stupid signs... on television, then it was over.
Yeah.
That was the thing that disappointed me most about... I went to house shows for WWF like back in the early 90s. Nobody had any fucking signs.
Yeah.
because it was a house show.
That was an Austin thing, like, that really got that shit over. That was Austin and Austin Michaels and Brett, would I say, would be the three things that really, like, the three dudes that brought that out of people. Because you could write Austin 316, you could write HBK, you could write Hitman.
I don't know. I feel like there's a part of that in wrestling fans and charges.
No, I'm
just
fine.
Well, since they sports in general, I don't know where it came to be really hardcore wrestling. Because my first wrestling show in general was at Richfield Coliseum, like April, May 1994. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania 10 Revenge Tour. Mm-hmm. And I remember standing next to somebody in line. It was a girl roughly my age or maybe a little bit older. And she was telling me about all these signs she made. This was like a Saturday house show.
Right, right, yeah.
They weren't filming anything, but she brought signs, and that was 94.
Right. Well, I mean, like, the first time I ever took a sign anywhere was when I saw ECW at the Masonic Auditorium in May 98. And I drew a picture of Cartman that said Sandman 316 on his shirt, and he was holding a Singapore cane. It was pretty fucking awesome. I wish I still had it. But that was a house show. Like, I didn't know that people brought signs to try and get on TV. You know what I mean? Like, that never, I was nine. You know, that never registered with me.
I was at the Raw that Mike Tyson joined DX.
Oh, really?
I was up in the nosebleeds in Gund Arena, and my idiot friend that I went with brought a Sting sign. Sting. And he dressed up as Crow Sting.
So he dressed up as a crow.
I mean, if you have nosebleed seats, that might be the best use of it. Like, we're all the way up here, I'm going to dress like Sting.
Yeah.
But no one's going to ever see you besides the people there.
Yeah, well, the people there were like, oh, that's a nice Sting costume. It's like, he's like, hey, thanks.
No, yeah, thanks. My friend's autistic.
Thanks. My friend here smoked crack. So he also later in life, Tombstone pile drove a couple of ladies, so we don't talk anymore.
Sting? Who's Sting?
Well, I was gonna say he dressed up as Sting, but so he hadn't found Jesus yet.
No, he was not Jesus Sting. He should have not talked Sting.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the best thing was I bring a baseball bat to the ring. I'm clearly on painkillers. Let me just fuck up the NWO real quick and get out of here. It was great. It was a great year build up, and then Hogan had to fuck the match at the end.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing that Smarks will get into is, like, did this fuck up everything going forward? You know, it's a constant debate. Did the Hogan Sting Starcade main event fuck everything?
Was the Montreal Screwjob a work?
Yeah.
Which I still go back and forth on.
There's a DVD about it.
Mm.
Called The Montreal Theory.
I'm going to have to check that out.
One of the other things that Smarks do is fantasy booking. And I found an old article that I wrote 9 years ago with some fantasy booking ideas, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is the first one. Remember, this is 9 years ago. Barry Horowitz and Goldberg meet in a struggle of hardline Israeli conservatives and Western appeasers. The match ends in a draw when the great Khali lays them both out and steals Horowitz's wife. Horowitz becomes enraged when no one comes to his aid, and the two Jews run roughshod over the entire roster until Stone Cold Steve Austin shoots Khali in the head live via satellite.
I feel like it's missing Scotty Goldman.
You know what? I think you're right. I think in 2009 I wasn't aware of Colt Cabana yet.
So would we call this FDW, Faces of Death Wrestling? Does it all end in murder?
No, it doesn't all end in murder. Here's the next one.
Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit was where I, like, quit watching wrestling. So these are all, like, old.
Don't worry, so did he.
All right. Colonel De Beers comes out of retirement to face an emaciated Coco Beware. But the match is interrupted when Crime Time steal Coco Beware's bird, ring clothes, and wallet during the match. De Beers smiles and nods, knowing that his Afrikaner people cannot take all the blame for the problems of his homeland, and strolls out of the ring quietly while Coco chases after the hoodlums with a steel chair.
Well, that doesn't work in the first place, because Coco Beware would never be emaciated. That boy ate.
Would that have a run-in from Kamala, I mean, hop in from Kamala.
There would be a hop in.
A wheel in.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, a wheel in, or they can get Kamala Jr. I'm sure he's available.
How many legs does he have?
Last time I saw Kamala Jr., he had two legs.
I'm about to say more than his dad.
I don't think it's his
brother. We're being mean and smart.
Yeah. Okay, here's the next one. China and Six come back to the United States to compete in a tag team competition, but are met with resistance when the entire roster seeks to change the rules of wrestling to exclude intergender tag teams to compete in the same ring as good old-fashioned same-sex tag teams. This storyline fails to work because fans know that China has a bigger dick than Six, and the metaphor becomes lost. Billy and Chuck beat them in a loser leaves town match, and visible tears are trapped in Xbox beard as he walks out, never to be seen again.
That's unfair to Sean Waltman because he got his life back together. however, I would watch that. The unfortunate thing is Billy and Chuck aren't actually gay.
Yeah,
that's the true. Unfortunate part of that.
All right.
I'm sorry. As far as we know.
Well, we don't know. That's the thing. I think there are very few people that are out. All right. I have one last one.
All right.
Questions are raised about the legitimacy of Scott Steiner's title reigns are raised when a secret drug test result is released. Ace reporter Ricky Rackman writes a tell-all book about steroids and wrestling that implicate the big bad booty daddy in a scandal that sends shockwaves across the nation. Steiner vehemently denies all allegations until he is tortured into a confession by The Undertaker, which culminates in a public whipping in the middle of the ring while the genetic freak is tied to the Undertaker symbol. Confused and alienated after his humiliation, Steiner returns home, murders his brother, and strangles himself with an electric cord, which results in a serious look at performance-enhancing drugs in sports entertainment. Except in Ohio, where they figure that Steiner's fall from grace is due to the fact that Michigan sucks.
I was really, really hoping at the end of there that Steiner's downfall would have been a math equation.
I was hoping there would be some sort of drug test reference with him and Triple H.
Yeah, there is that. I think I was still on the fuck Triple H bandwagon in 2009.
Fair enough.
That was, that was a big smark. I don't know what you would call it. Like, you know, it was a thing that happened with all smarks in like the early 2000s to late 2000s. Everybody hates Triple H.
Some people still hate him.
Yeah. I mean,
Chris Clem.
Me.
How can you hate the dude that's given the guys chances that need fucking chances?
Because
that makes no sense.
Hold on. Cheap plug, go back and listen to the Steve Guy interview on Wrestling Cheers, where we talk about a lot of the WrestleMania experiences, and we talk about him going to WrestleMania in California.
Yeah,
with...
he shoehorns himself into the big shows, but once a year is not bad for fucking four great takeovers that he's in charge of.
But the fact that he's, I mean, he's just word loosely, buried Sting and Booker T.
Oh, God forbid Barry Sting or Booker T, who are fucking probably 10 years older than triple fucking H. Each.
I don't really care. I thought it was a great moment. It was a good match.
Well, I mean, he did call Booker T boy.
And Triple H is the, out of all of the McMahon family, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to venture to guess Triple H is probably the least racist out of all of them.
He took a little picture with your president.
Dude, I mean, I wouldn't personally, but yeah, if my mother-in-law's on his fucking committee... Yeah, sure, you're going to do it. Do I think Triple H is a fucking Trump supporter? Probably not. And if he is, it's based on money, which I still think you're an asshole, but whatever.
I don't know. I didn't like... Looking back, I think a lot of my hatred of Triple H was misplaced because they did... Do you remember that time when he was like... He was defending the belt like almost every week against like randos... And all the matches were great, and he would win.
Mm-hmm.
I think I converted that in my head to, like, everything he ever did. which was like, because it seemed like he was just beating, needlessly beating everything. But that match with Taka Michinoku, where he brought out the APA with him, and it got the crowd that much into the match. It was like, Taka Michinoku might actually be able to beat this guy. And he did that very, very well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes me take a look back and go, you know, maybe this was actually a good idea for a lot of what he was doing.
How about when Jericho beat him for the belt on Raw, and then he had to give it back?
I was about to say that it was reversed, and yeah, he won it back later in the night.
Yeah, dude, like, that's good shit. But, I mean, as I've made it very clear in my entire presence as a person, anything good with Chris Jericho is good in my book. He's the greatest wrestler of all time.
Did we talk about this on Wrestling Cheers? It's been like a month, but how I'm not like huge on Chris Jericho. Like, I don't.
We might have. That probably would have been the point where I started yelling at you.
It's like, I don't hate him, but I'm not like, I don't ever put him on my top list.
He's the greatest of all time.
I do.
I get it.
I mean, I love a lot of stuff that he does, and especially his hustle, like everything that he does. You know, he did the New Japan thing recently, and he's going to do some more here soon. He was on Raw recently.
He's got the cruise.
The podcast, Fozzy, and I'm like, you're not my favorite, but you know what? That hustle
respect the fucking hustle.
I respect from a podcaster point of view, he doesn't like doing over the phone interviews.
No, neither do I. I hate it. It's awful.
Depending on what it is, but I do love.
I mean,
I do love stuff like this way more.
Let's put it this way. If I don't know who'd be like a level
Mr.
like,
Peanut Butter.
No, we would no. I would get him, and I know he's coming in studio. I wouldn't do a fucking radio interview with or phone interview with him. I'm trying to think of somebody though that like is a little bigger. Like, all right, for example, like if we got lucky enough for like the Young Bucks to want to do an interview with us, but it wouldn't be. It would have to be via Skype. Yeah, we're fucking doing that. Yeah. That's happening. But, like, no, somebody that I can fucking get who's going to be in Cleveland on a Friday sometime, fuck no. If you want to do it, you're going to come here and you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll make it worth your fucking time.
Yeah.
But that's just me being me.
Yeah. And you know how he's going to make it worth your time?
I mean, yeah. You know how he's going to make it worth my time? He's going to kick you in the fucking face and I'm going to laugh. It's going to be really funny.
I was going to say you're going to use your beautiful dick sucking lips, but, you know.
See what I mean? See what I mean? Well, yeah, fuck Sparks.
Like, yeah. All right. So here's the big question. Is your biggest problem with Smarks the fact that they themselves want to get over as experts?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest.
It's a good answer.
It became a thing, like in the nascent days of the internet, where fucking the guys that would review Raw and get a bunch of readers like became just as big celebrities as the wrestlers themselves. Yeah. And that's kind of carried over into the YouTube generation with What Culture and Wrestling with Regret.
Yeah.
And now into podcasting, which back in the day, like Wrestling Observer Radio was my shit. I had an Observer subscription. I listened to Iata.com and I didn't know that theme music was from Buffy the Vampire Slayer until many years later. I thought that was Dave Meltzer's music. But like, yeah, it's very easy to become an authority with just a few well-timed, well-put-out pieces. And, I mean, if you're getting paid at the expense of the business, then, you know, you're in the business, but you're not. You know what I mean?
Like,
you're
not. I mean, my whole thing, I guess, is like, I can sum it up for me as just, like, stop shitting over everything. Like, just because you like Jim Cornette doesn't mean the Young Bucks suck. You know? Doesn't mean you don't like Kenny Omega. How can you watch a Young Bucks match or a Kenny Omega match and not be into it?
I think it's funny that, just my own personal life, I want to say about 3 years ago, if you had asked me my opinion on Bullet Club and Young Bucks, I'd have been, like, overrated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, right now I am wearing a Bullet Club hoodie, a Bullet Club jacket, a Bullet Club
shirt,
Kenny Omega shirt. I have a Bullet Club hat. I have a Bullet Club belt on, but it was more or less me kind of being stubborn and being like, because I kind of looked at the Bullet Club and all them and Young Bucks as, okay, they're taking NWO and DX, mix them together. They were great and all, but I'm like, that's just, why are they doing that?
Yeah.
And then...
But it worked.
It did. And then, I've even said before, even when they came to Cleveland, I took a picture with them because I could.
Yeah.
To make friends of mine jealous who couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I decided to give New Japan a chance, and I started to identify with Bullet Club.
Yeah. Because
it was people that I knew, and even, I think when I was watching on Access, that was, they were showing footage of Gallows and Anderson before they left.
Yeah.
And there were...
When they used to paint their faces and...
Oh, not even that aspect of it. The thing that I love, and I know you can find this online, Gallows and Anderson, and I want to say Amber O'Neil versus The Kingdom. And it's Maria Kanellis. They do this like flirting thing with her and Carl Anderson.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Dude, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are a highlight of Raw every single time they're on it.
Yeah.
They're fucking great. As far as where the Bullet Club stands now and where it's at, they're selling more merch than they ever have before. Did any of those dudes start the Bullet Club? No, they did not.
No.
But guess what? They're making fucking money off of it. As independent wrestlers, and I respect that.
One thing I love about wrestling right now, because people just shit over shit. We're at a point where I can go to Hot Topic.
Yeah.
This shirt I bought off Hot Topic online.
Right, sure.
And
which 10 years ago I would have been ashamed to say I bought anything at Hot Topic. Because I was a dipshit punk kid.
I was a juggalo.
Ha!
Yeah. And me and my friend would look down on people if you had a Hot Topic shirt. Oh, we know you bought that at Hot Topic. You didn't buy it at hatchetware.com or whatever. You didn't spend the money that we did.
Especially
my friend. So, yeah, I would look down. But now, I can go in there. I can buy all this
cool shit, dude. I have a Kenny Omega patch. I have, and I was gonna say, this is where I was gonna kind of leave my point off of it, let you two go, finish off kind of, but Marty fucking Skrull, dude. Oh,
dude.
I
have a Bullet Club umbrella in my trunk.
In 2017, that was my favorite wrestler, and I bet you will be in 2018. He is so fucking entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
He puts on amazing matches. And on top of that, he's original.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has done what he's doing. And I fucking love it.
He's one of my favorite cast members on Being the Elite.
Oh, it's great.
When they kind of focus stuff on him. I mean, right now it's more...
That last episode when he was singing Avril Lavigne throughout the whole episode, I was dying fucking laughing.
There's so much to enjoy with wrestling today.
And that's really kind of the point. Is there's so much shit. Why, bitch? Just watch what you like.
Yeah, that's if you want to just watch Ring of Honor and all that stuff, go ahead. Ring of Honor's great. New Japan's great. AEW's great. WWE's great too. But if you don't like something,
shout out to Mega Championship Wrestling. I fucking love them.
Omega's good too.
Out there in Lorain or Elyria.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
They don't like Jews out there, that's all.
The only problem with them is they don't put out DVDs, or they do. It's
they're
way behind.
No, they're AIW's kind of little brother kind
of
thing.
One of their little brothers, also UXWA.
Yeah. Well, all I know is at February 24th, after the next AIW show, I will be in Akron watching Jackson Argos fuck somebody up.
You're coming out to OCW.
I am going to come to that show because I want to watch Jackson Argos not wrestle a tag match. I want to see him in a singles match.
Okay. My own self-promotion. Did you listen to the interview with him?
I didn't know you interviewed him.
Interviewed him back in October.
Go back and listen to that.
The only thing that sucks about it is he openly admitted right before we did, he's like, I don't do out of gimmick interviews. I'm like...
Oh, that's fine. I respect that.
I was just like, I want to do sit-downs where we talk about stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But he would just want to be all gimmick. I'm like, fuck. But he's a great dude. Absolutely love him. When he won the OCW Ohio Heritage Championship, I was halfway shocked.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that that's his first championship he's won.
He's that kid I told you about. He's Lance Storm's graduate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, anybody who, like, if you come from, like, if you have the blessing of him, mm-hmm. you're good. Like, I, like, he just needs to say it, and I believe it.
There's a comic that used to be from out here, Sams Osmus, also known as Samuel Edmonds. That's his real name. He went to Lance Storm School and graduated. So I'm kind of stoked to see where he ends up.
Cool. He's very cool. Let's try and get him on the show. I'd love to.
Yeah.
If I could be serious for a minute.
If I can be serious for a minute, I don't care if you want to come on in character. I think that is a bigger challenge for me.
Yeah.
And I love being challenged.
Not that this person is a character, but we will. I know we talked about it and it didn't work out for us, but we will have him, Dick Justice. I can't wait for that. That's going to be fun.
Here's the real challenge. If you can get an interview and have it be an hour long with Space Monkey. I think that's the biggest challenge.
Space Monkey, eh?
Dick Justice in character is one thing. Jackson Argos in character is another.
Jackson with an axe.
Jackson, yeah, Jackson Argos. But freaking Space Monkey.
Right on.
Be able to conduct an interview with him completely in character, speaking monkey the whole time. Anybody does that,
I think you
can. I am subscribing, and I'm going to...
I would just get drunk.
And I will donate to their Patreon, if anybody can do that.
All right. Well,
fuck Smarks anyway, right, guys?
Justin, thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
I always love talking wrestling for a bit.
Yeah.
We got a shout out to our sponsors. Thank you, Jess Fallstick at Epic Fall on the Twitter. You can hear her podcast, The Default Setting, on the Above Below Entertainment Network.
That's my network.
Each and every week. You can also catch her Sundays at Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio, 7 p.m. start. So you can get home in time to get to work the next day. Also, thanks to Britt Fox, X-Fox Rocks on the Snapchat and the Instagram. If you're still on Snapchat after the update, I hear that's appalling. I'm not on the Snapchat myself, just to avoid getting unwanted
titty. I'm 30 years old, I don't need a Snapchat.
I don't need unwanted titty pictures, thank you. And thanks very much to Play the Stripper Herder. What is Play the Stripper Herder, you ask? It is a blog chronicling one man's journey through the strip club industry. It's playthestripperherder.blogspot.com. Justin, where can we find you on the World Wide Weberhurst?
If you want to find me just personally, I'm also on Facebook, Justin Summers, probably as it's spelled on the episode, JustinSummers. If you add me, though, please... add a message that you heard me from here, just because I'll get random requests. I'll have mutual friends and I'll go, I've never spoken to you. Who are you? But if someone ever tells me they're a listener or they've listened to me on something.
I get that from new comedians and it drives me nuts.
Yeah, so.
I hate it.
If you do that, or you can follow me on Twitter at HeavySet330. And then, of course, there's my podcast, Wrestling Cheers, which you can find on Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. And hey, if you like us, we have a store on WebManeuver.net. That's pretty much it.
I went on a show. It was a lot of fun. I plan on going back, and we plan on having you back, dude. So I appreciate it. I was so excited to be like, get to end my day, like, fucking talk about wrestling. I'm like, thank God I get to talk about something. Like, I know.
So, Jordan, I don't think anybody is going to hate Smarks as much as Justin Summers.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniel's a drunkenness. My bruise and my brain, and under the punches, and I was meant to take.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.